Future-proof extra.
With Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland.
On News Talk.
Something truly terrifying has been showing up on Richter scales all around the world and now looms ominously over the people of Ireland, with the phenomenon forecast to hit these shores next weekend. That is Taylor Swift. Eleanor Dunn is a PhD researcher at the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies. She joins me now. Welcome to the programme, Eleanor. People who listen to the programme regularly will remember Eleanor and I and the team from DIAS went to the Galapagos to go into a volcano. If you haven't heard that, it's a great piece. So have a listen back. So welcome back, Eleanor. It's a very different environment we find ourselves in at the moment. Tell me, what is the story here? Why do we care about Taylor Swift from a geologist's point of view?
I think this has not really been done before in terms of looking at the sort of seismic energy that concerts and specifically fans can produce. So it all came about really when last year she performed at Seattle, and there was a lot of press and media because seismologists were reporting that they had actually detected seismic activity from the Swifties in the stadium. So that could have been just a one-off, but it actually wasn't. In California at her SoFi concerts, there was also activity detected there, and more research has come out about that recently. And then more recently, her concert in Edinburgh was also detected by seismometers owned by the British Geological Survey. So that kind of really kept on grabbing people's attention as to how powerful Swifties can be. I mean, the Eras Tour is, as a Swiftie myself, I know that the Eras Tour can be like a massive party, and it's definitely going to generate a lot of activity, a lot of dancing, a lot of jumping up and down, which I'm guessing is why there is this seismic activity that is produced.
I would have thought that that would only be expected, though, right? I mean, is it unusual that seismic activity is picked up from a concert?
Well, it has to be very strong for it to be detected by our seismometers.
Well, but why is that? Because I remember when we were in the Galapagos, when even we just walked past a seismometer, got a big reading, and it could detect. I remember Martin told me that you could detect a car up on a ridge like a mile away. So why would it be surprising that, you know, nearly 10,000 fans or 50,000 fans are going to make an impact on seismometers?
So if we're looking at Dublin specifically, because the Aviva Stadium is so noisy, I mean, it's right in the centre, it's got the dart station to one side of it, it's got a river the other side, surrounded by houses. So in very, very noisy environments, it becomes more difficult to pick up any specific activity happening.
Right.
So for instance, with the Galapagos, you could pick up a car travelling so far away because we were basically in the middle of nowhere and there was nothing really going on. but with these noisy environments, I mean, stadiums always tend to be in the centre of a city or just surrounded by a lot of activity. So the fact that you can pick up and these fans are creating seismic activity that is strong enough to be seen amongst the noise and the hubbub of the city is quite exciting. And I think, I mean, for all we know, it could be seen at other concerts. It just hasn't been done before. So this is kind of a very new, almost field of seismology where we are looking specifically at concert behaviour. And I think Taylor Swift, just because there's already a lot of a talk about her and her concerts, it was just a great place to kind of start and get people interested.
Yeah. What sort of a size are we expecting? I mean, when you look at Seattle, like how would it compare to, you know, earthquakes that, you know, shake chandeliers, for example?
So these earthquakes will definitely not be strong enough to
rattle a house.
Yes. The people, I mean, even the people living right next to the Aviva won't feel a thing. Their house won't shake. And I mean, so one angle that we're going with Swiftquake Dublin is that we want to emphasise that it's definitely the activity generated is different to how you might imagine an earthquake. So it's not a sudden bang in the ground that would then, you know, send out seismic waves and would perhaps maybe rattle a house or people could feel nearby, this will be a prolonged seismic activity that might be similar to more how a volcano would kind of rumble in the ground and produce this kind of tremor signal. That would be similar. So it would be more similar to how a volcano might operate, where a concert is going to be producing this constant tremor of activity throughout the concert, and that can be detected throughout.
Obviously, it's a great way to get people thinking about seismology and seismic activity. But other than that, why are geologists even interested in something like this? Because can it really tell us anything about how rock formations happen, or why volcanic activity happens when it does?
Well, that's a good question. It's always, why are we doing this? Specifically, I mean, in the long run, if this is kind of studied more and more and more, you could probably get to things like understanding how a stadium structure might be impacted by constant music shows and concerts being played there, and how those seismic waves might impact the stadium structure and how they might propagate out of the stadium. But specifically, if we're just looking at what I'm doing here, it would be really cool to, since I'm not going to be at the concerts in Dublin, so it would be really interesting to see if we could use the data and say, okay, during this song, the right side of the stadium was louder or more energetic than the left side. And we can tell this by looking at the seismic data taken from different stations around the Aviva. And we can then look at this data and see, okay, what was happening at a particular stage or a particular time, and where was it happening, and were the fans maybe jumping up and down, were they dancing to a particular beat, were they swaying slowly, like all these different things we can hopefully tell without actually being in the stadium, which could then be, you know, if we do this more and more and more, we can then turn that into some really cool insights that we could then maybe get.
In terms of seismic activity in Ireland, we don't get earthquakes. Why is that? Is it just that we're nowhere near a fault line? Is that the only thing?
So, yes, Ireland is kind of, I mean, in that respect, we're very safe from any major earthquakes that like Japan or California might have, because we are nowhere near a fault line. So about 500 million years ago, we were, you know, there was actually a fault line. And I think it was Wexford was on one side of the fault line, and then Donegal and Mayo were on the other side. And those then 500 million years ago joined up. But because that fault was so long ago, and the rock is so old, and it's...
Sorry, you're telling me Donegal and Wexford were two different continents?
Yes.
I mean, it explains a lot, really, doesn't it? Wow. Okay. So literally, the island of Ireland was once hewn in two, and they came together through through plate tectonics over millions of years.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, but because that fault was so old, it's not active anymore. And I mean, it's still there, which can explain why we sometimes do actually get some very small earthquakes, particularly in, so County Donegal is the place where we get the most recorded earthquakes in Ireland.
And they actually do get earthquakes,
do they? They do get earthquakes. We haven't had many, and they have not been very big at all. So the most recent kind of big one for Ireland was the 2nd of May this year, and it was a magnitude 1.1. But that would not... So that was detected...
I'm not a seismologist, but even then, I know 1.1. Yeah. If there's any scale, whatever it is, 1.1 is not big on it.
Exactly.
Unless you're going the other way around, but I don't think you are. Yeah.
And so we have... The Irish National Seismic Network have permanent networks or permanent stations set up all around Ireland. So luckily they're constantly recording, and it can record whenever we have even these relatively small events. But we have had a few bigger events. So there have been a few times where earthquakes have been felt by people in Ireland, which is very, very rare. In June 2012, off the west coast of Ireland, we had a magnitude 4.
Wow, that's a bit, I mean, that's a reasonably big
earthquake. It's a little bigger than the 1.1, but it wasn't on land. So it was off the coast, but tremors were still felt by people in Mayo, Galway and Sligo. So, and when we do have these small, really small earthquakes, we do get usually reports from locals that maybe heard, like they report maybe hearing a crashing sound or a banging sound, and that is usually reports of the earth moving. I mean, we only get like maybe a couple of hundred if it's a particularly big earthquake. And like, I'm sure, you know, if there was an earthquake in Japan, you'd get thousands and thousands because of just the size of it. But because it's such a small earthquake, it is only felt by a tiny area in Ireland. But yeah, so we get these semi... they're big for Ireland, but then yeah, they're definitely not very regular, and we're definitely not going to be getting any earthquakes that will be causing catastrophic damage or tsunamis or anything like that. So there's
we don't need to worry about that.
Yeah.
In terms of the measurements that you're doing for a Swiftquake, are they? Do you need just one sensor? Because it's, I mean, why would you need more than one sensor on site? Because surely, you know, it's the amount of movement can be measured with one.
Yes. So with one sensor, you can still do a lot. You can see, okay, this song, there was the most seismic activity. But with multiple sensors, what you can do is locate the seismic activity. So it's kind of, it's a method called triangulation, where you can see where when the seismic activity happened at one sensor, where it happened at another, and then where it happened at a third. And based on those timings, you can say, okay, so the earthquake, for instance, happened at this specific location. So when you have multiple sensors, you can definitely do a lot more in terms of building up the seismic activity over space and over time, which is definitely very helpful if we actually want to do some more interesting analysis.
Do a lot of people study earthquakes and volcanic activity in Ireland? Because it does seem like a strange place to set up a centre. I know Chris Bean's team, who I went out with the Galapagos, I asked him that question, like, why are we looking at that in Ireland when we have literally nothing to study here?
Yeah. So I get that question a lot, because it is my, when I first started my PhD, it was all about volcano seismology. And I mean, that is a very good question. Why are we doing it in Ireland? So Chris Bean's team, so my supervisor, they've been working on volcano seismology, specifically earthquakes and seismic activity related to volcanoes, for a very long time. So they have developed a lot of great methods for understanding the seismic activity on volcanoes, which does open a lot more doors for PhD students like myself to come along and then try and use those new methods. And we also have a lot of seismometers, which we can then place on volcanoes. So when you have the equipment and you have the methods, it makes it a lot easier for then being able to go to these really interesting volcanoes all around the world and do some research and get some really good results.
Yeah, and it really fosters collaboration as well. Why are you not going to the concerts?
So I'm going to the London ones.
Okay.
But it was me and a friend, and I said, okay, I'm going to try and get tickets for the Dublin show. You try and get tickets for the London show. We'll just see who is successful.
Right.
And she was successful. So yeah, unfortunately, I'm not going to the Dublin show. But
at least you get to go.
Exactly. Well, I do get to go. So yeah, otherwise I think I would be very sad.
Well, I'm delighted to hear you got sorted. And thank you so much for coming in, Eleanor Dunn from the Dublin Institute of Advanced Studies.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland
on News Talk.